Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Power and Instrumental Gujarat Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Arihant Capital Markets Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashvath Rajan from Arihant Capital Markets. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, participants. I, on behalf of Arihant Capital, am delighted to host Power and Instrumental Gujarat Limited for the Q1 FY26 conference call. Today, from the management's end, we have Mr. Padmaraj Pillai, Managing Director, Mr. Rohit Maheshwari, Chief Financial Officer, and without any further ado, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Padmaraj Pillai for opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Ashvath Rajan. Greetings to everyone. Thank you for joining us on this earnings call to discuss the performance of Power Instrumentation Gujarat Limited for the first quarter of FY26. It gives me great pleasure to present our performance for the first quarter of FY26. We have begun this year on a very strong note, recording a 14.18% year-on-year growth in the net profit. This performance reflects the continuous resilience of our business model, the strength of our execution capabilities, and the trust we build in our clients across diverse sectors. This quarter also is special as it coincides with the celebration of 50 years of Power Instrumentation Gujarat Limited. Since our inception in 1975, we have evolved into a trusted name in the EPC industry, with a proven track record in delivering turnkey projects for substation, power distribution systems, industrial electrification, and specialized infrastructure projects. 5 decades of consistent performance and technical excellence have laid a very strong foundation for the next phase of our growth journey. During the first quarter, we secured several significant contracts that highlight our technical capabilities and our successful strategy of diversifying into high-impact sectors. We secured an 80.24 lakh contract from Godrej and Boyd Manufacturing Company for a specialized work at Khavda project. Most notably, we secured 6 contracts worth about 57.89 crores from Nyati Engineers and Consultants Private Limited for Udaipur Airport project. This prestigious assignment, which involves the supply, installation, and testing of critical electrical systems for airports, is a major step in diversifying our portfolio into the aviation-linked infrastructure segment, which is rapidly in growing demand. Building on this momentum, we are also delighted to announce a significant new order worth 70.55 crores from Ajmer Vidyut Vitran Nigam Limited under the Revamped Distribution Sector Scheme, RDSS, in Rajasthan. This project involves critical upgrades to power distribution infrastructure and positions to play an important role in the national electrification efforts under the key central government schemes. Together, these recent wins for the Udaipur Airport and RDSS project demonstrate our ability to secure and execute large-scale time-bound projects in both aviation-linked and government-backed infrastructure. These are two of the fastest-growing and highest-impact sectors in India's ongoing infrastructure build-out. We are operating at a time when India's energy and infrastructure landscape is undergoing rapid and historic transformation. India currently stands as the third-largest producer and consumer of electricity globally, with an installed capacity of over 466 gigawatts. While this is a significant achievement, demand continues to outpace supply due to rising urbanization, industrialization, and increased per capita electricity consumption. Looking ahead, the sector presents a multi-decade investment opportunity. Over 40 lakh crores is to be invested in the power sector over the next 10 years, supported by expanding aviation infrastructure, with airports set to invest over 60,000 crores by FY27, including multiple new terminal projects. Revamped Central Distribution Scheme programs such as RDSS, which are transforming the power distribution networks to enhance efficiency and reliability. Integrated Power Distribution Scheme with an outlay of around 30,000 crores, focused on strengthening urban distribution infrastructure, underground cabling, and IT enabling. Deendayal Upadhyay Gram Jyoti Yojana, with 43,033 crore allocation targeting feeder separation, rural electrification, and metering to ensure 24/7 power in the villages. The need for robust extra high-voltage transmission network to support the integration of renewable energy and meet the rising demand across the country. The shift from the conventional to renewable and hybrid power system, including large-scale projects such as Gujarat Hybrid Renewable Energy Park. We believe PIGL is uniquely positioned to contribute meaningfully to this transformation given our strong execution record in electrification, transmission, and specialized EPC projects. Consolidated financial performance highlights. Quarter 1, financial FY26. Our consolidated total income stood at 41.55 crores, registering a robust year-on-year growth of 59.83%. EBITDA grew by 17.36% to 4.28 crores, while the net profit surged by 40.18 to 2.62 crores. The strategy priorities for FY26. Deepen the presence in central electrification program like RDSS, which provide multi-year visibility and scale. Strengthen our presence in the aviation electrification by leveraging timely execution at Udaipur Airport and actively pursuing upcoming airport opportunities. Advanced capabilities in extra high voltage transmission projects following our debut in the 400 kV segment. Invest in the digital project management tools, R&D, strategic partnership with OEMs to deliver integrated EPC solutions. Expand selectively into high potential geographies such as Eastern and Northeastern India. As we celebrate 50 years of operations, we are using this milestone as a springboard to scale further and create lasting value for all the stakeholders. Power Instrumentation Gujarat Limited is ready to play a central role in India's evolving power sector and infrastructure build-out, contributing real value where it matters the most. On behalf of my entire management team, I want to thank all my employees, clients, partners, shareholders for your continued support and trust. I especially wish to thank, as on date, Arihant for arranging this call. With now, I leave the floor open for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Paras Chedda from Purple One Vertex Ventures LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for this opportunity and congratulations for the strong set of results for Q1. Now, for this year, you know, I mean, probably in terms of guidance, we are looking at, if I'm not wrong, about 50% growth compared to last year. My question was with regards to EBITDA margins. For the Q1, the margins have been a little bit somber compared to the last year corresponding quarter. But on an average for the full year, should we expect about 10% double-digit margin that is there, at least for the last couple of years? That's question one on the margins. And in terms of our acquisition of a majority stake in Peyton, you know, what kind of value can that generate in terms of manufacturing products, electrical products that we are targeting? So that's one. And any further progress on the solar EPC contracts or EHV contracts for now?
Okay, I'll start one by one. The first question I think that you asked me was regarding the EBITDA and the PAT, if I'm not wrong. So I would put it this way that, yeah, definitely the quarter one had a certain impact. Actually, see, the ratio of our work, it is against supply and installation. There are two portions to it, basically. So when we do the supply, there's a certain portion of the profit that gets, released. And then there's a certain portion of it which is against the installation part. Normally, the installation part has a higher margin as compared to the supply portion, which is a very normal trend in the industry. So based on that, because that is when, you know, when you look at the console figures at the end of the year, you will see that, you know, the first quarter, the second quarter may have, because these are the quarters when there are a lot of supplies that will keep on happening. And then the installation starts. Like, for example, this quarter that we're talking about, probably because of the rains, I mean, a lot of installation would have gone slow. I mean, across the country, I mean, the rains are going on for the last 2 months. So, you know, the outdoor jobs would actually slow down a little. And these kind of things do happen. But when you would look at the console numbers at the end of the year, you will see that we will be improving it as far as the last year was concerned. And we'll remain consistent and the performance you will see at the end of the year. Coming to question number two,
Just on the revenue growth, 50% is what we're targeting. Is that correct? I mean, broadly.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. That's what.
And that's achievable now. Having said, you know, 5 months of
video. No.
Okay.
Absolutely, absolutely. We are absolutely in line for it. We've absolutely planned everything. Where is it going to come from? Which project is going to give us what? Everything is there. I mean, the plan is absolutely in line, and we had already anticipated this 2 months of slowdown because of the rains and everything. Because this happens every year on year.
Yeah,
there's nothing to worry about. Yeah, so this has been a trend in the industry, and we very, very sure and very comfortably placed to execute the numbers what we are anticipating. And we see that at the end of the year. So that is not going to be any kind of a hurdle that I see as far as things are moving, I mean. Coming back to the next question, I think it was regarding the acquisition of Peyton. So coming to the acquisition of Peyton, see, Peyton basically is a manufacturing company which is into manufacturing of all kind of low voltage, high voltage panels, compact substations, and also into the last developmental phase of the compact busway systems. So basically, the acquisition got a little delayed, but the paperwork is going on. I think should be done very soon, should be completed very soon. And what we envisage with acquiring Peyton is that we will be able to provide certain clients like our aviation industry with a full solution. Because last year we took the license from Siemens for manufacturing the co-branded panels. We've tied up with Rittal Germany, and I said my buzzbacks are right in place. So I think all this together we can offer us as a complete solution. Like if you see, particularly if I'm talking about the aviation industry, I mean the new recent list of approved makes which have come out, they've approved us in all categories of panels. They've approved us in the hybrid APFCs. They've approved us in the bus ducts. So you know already that approval and everything that has been already worked out. So it's just a matter of time. Once this is over, you will see a lot of contribution coming in from Peyton. I mean, and see, the manufacturing sector is also growing. And more so ever in the electrical field right now, I mean, if you look across the sector, I mean, all of the manufacturers are they're facing the problem of expansion. So we've already planned those things. I mean, we have our infra in place. So we think it's a beautiful thing of acquiring, and we think that we'll be able to deliver much better. So just give us some more time. You will see what is going to happen.
So on the commencement of operation, because I'm new to this company in general, we have fully acquired Peyton, is it? And how much have we acquired Peyton for now?
60%.
Oh, okay. So 60% for now. So we consolidate in our results. And in general, the orders for Peyton will, so, I mean, obviously it will be already operational. But the order flow will increase, or how are we looking at it? I mean,
yeah, the order flow will increase, because if you will look at the order flow right now also, I mean, post the license from Siemens, I mean, we've got a couple of orders. We are banging on now a couple of orders from the other airports also. I mean, so Peyton has been approved in almost all the government organizations. And so we're looking at it like, you know, the way the infra is growing and the space is growing. And we are adding two products. We are also in discussion with a couple of companies for tie-ups and everything. So all those things are lined up. So we are keeping, I mean, while the paperwork is going on, we are already working on the things where, you know, we'll be, by the time the paperwork will be over, we'll be in a position to straight away, you know, take advantage of the situation.
Right. And when do you anticipate the paperwork to get done for Peyton?
I think maybe in a month's time or so.
Okay, about a month or two, right?
Yeah.
Just on that EHV space, I mean, and it's an interesting one.
Again, on the EHV space, I mean, we have bidded for a couple of tenders. In fact, I just finished off one of my meetings, and I'm just out of that meeting. So, I mean, we are very keen to enter this space. So, one of the small projects that we took, we successfully executed the same, and now we're looking at a larger size of the system. So we are already quoting for a couple of private entities. We are also in discussion with Power Grid, and there are a couple of tenders which have already been quoted. So let us be hopeful that this quarter sees some kind of attraction and, I mean, like, you know, a positioning in that sector too.
Right. And just for now, as of now, I mean, our order book, unexecuted order book would be about what? Unexecuted would be about 300-400 crores or?
Yeah, it's about 400 crores.
Okay, and the bid value has gone up to 500 or?
Yeah, it is about approximately bid value. No, I think it's about 390 to 415 or something, something in that range. About 400 crores.
Right. Right. Understood. I mean, general, just last query from my side, going forward, I mean, and there are various verticals that you're operating.
Yeah.
Where do you see, you know, the maximum growth coming from? I mean, yes, I am personally quite bullish on, but I mean, in general, your thoughts on where the maximum growth for our company will come from?
No, I'll tell you, this is a very simplified answer to this question, is that basically, see, EPC business thrives on credentials of the company, basically. Now, see, right now, as you see, the entire infra is bullish right now. I mean, every place there is work that is happening. But what happens is that, you know, after a certain time, you know, certain sectors still, remain growing. Certain sectors have a slowdown. So we have always strategically invested in a point where we have always said that all the segments are equally important. You know, we've been growing every year into a different sector, but we've not left any of the sectors. Like, for example, if you would look at the portfolio that I have got, I mean, against that, if you look at the portfolio of a lot of my peers or my competitors, you will realize one thing, that probably if they are doing EHV, they are doing only EHV. If they are doing, the RDSS, they are doing only RDSS. If they are in the building segment, they are only doing building segment. We not stopping ourselves. What we are doing is that internally we are creating verticals, we are creating people, we are putting people responsible for each of the verticals and trying to, you know, add on new verticals every year, because we don't want that when, you know, when certain space slow down, we don't want our pace to be slowed down. So that is the only reason why I'm looking at all the sectors as equally important. So if I'm entering one sector...
So you're diversifying, basically.
No, it's
continue
not actually,
to stay diversified.
Yes, but it remains in the same space of electricity. We're not moving anywhere away from it. Like, you know, I'm not getting into a building construction.
Yeah,
or
domain itself.
Yeah, the domain remains the same. But the vertical is like, you know, okay, I was doing the building. From there, I moved into the 33 kV segment. Then I moved into the 63 kV segment. Now we've done a 400 kV job. Now we're looking at 130 to 220 kV switchyard. So, you know, that will be an additional thing. Then, what we try to do is that once we have that four verticals in order, then we look at it, you know, which is the most beneficial. So then, you know, we balance our thing, because every 5 years, the credentials are going to die. So every 5 years, you need to have your credentials in order. Otherwise, one of the segments will be left out. Like, I know a lot of my competitors who entered another segment and now they are not available in the first segment. So tomorrow morning, if that segment goes a little down, you will not be there in the first segment at all.
Right. So the idea is to stay diversified within the
current same domain, and, you know, explore the full possibility of, you know, encashing whatever is happening in the market right now.
And generally now we are targeting, you know, 300 to 350 crore kind of size of tenders, it seems. But for now, what is the largest tender size that we bid for?
163.
Okay, understood. Fair enough. I'll come back in a queue, sir.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask questions, you may please press star and one. Our next question comes from the line of Mayank Saraf, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Pillai.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayank.
Good afternoon. First of all, congratulations for a great set of numbers and delivering above your guidance, I see.
Thank you so much.
So I have a couple of questions. First is, like, what is the visibility of the order book, like, going ahead for the next year? Like, if I talk about, like March 26th, so what is the visibility?
So what I presume is what we're trying to do is that, you know, we should have double the amount of whatever closing we're doing, you know. So what we're looking at is that, let's say if you're closing at 100, the order in hand should be about 200. So we are in a comfortable position, you know, to keep on bidding. So that, you know, the pressure of the work not being there with us should not come to any stage. So I think by March 26, whatever figures we are going to achieve, I think we'll have double the amount of the order with us in hand by that time. So that's what we're planning.
Yeah, nice. And when will we eligible for the 300 crore like bidding thing?
See, I'm almost there. Maybe even if something like, because we have done a couple of tie-ups in the last couple of months, wherein, you know, we can use the credentials. of somebody in JV, and we can quote for those kind of tenders. So that eligibility thing which I was wanting to achieve in terms of my own would come in another 6 months' time. But then if there is any opportunity available, I'm quite ready to bid for it because I've already got my tie-ups in order.
That's great. And like the tenders right now that we have bid in, what is the timeline? Like when will these orders get finalized?
So see, what has happened is basically there is, elections, due to all these things, no? There is a tendency of, you know, tenders to be, the late opening of the tenders. Then again, March, April, you see a lot of transfers happening and all that. So this is the quarter, I think, probably we're looking at, you know, the opening of the tenders. So probably by this quarter, I mean, couple of them should be opening up and the balance should be in the next quarter. Because the first 3 months, 4 months is normally in government, what happens is post-March, you know, there are a lot of transfers, there are a lot of promotions and a lot of, you know, moving here and there. And then this time the Gram Panchayat elections were there in a couple of states and everything. So once that happens, you know, the Achar Sahita, what we call, you know, and they have to, I mean, like, you know, they cannot open any tenders or anything like that. So I think probably all these things should start in this quarter.
Okay, thank you so much and wishing you all the best and looking forward to seeing you in one of the bigger tenders soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mayankji. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Participants, you may press star and one if you wish to ask questions. We have a follow-up question from the line of Paras Chheda with Purple One Vertex Ventures LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Sir, currently, what are our receivable days? I mean, so last year, they went up to, it seems, 4 months. What would we normally assume on an average for, let's say, this year or the way it is panning out?
I think it's about, if I'm not wrong, it's about 80 days or something odd, which we are really thriving hard to, you know, reduce it to, I mean, maybe about...
This is on an average, you're saying, is it?
Yeah, on an average.
Receivable days?
Yeah.
Because that will be a substantial decline from the last couple of years that we've seen. So far, we've not seen 80 days, I mean.
Yeah, but then we, I think right now, just a second. Rohit, what is the receivable right now? Average?
Sir, as on 30th June 2025, the receivable days are coming to 87 days. And for the previous quarter, that is ending on March 2025, the receivable days was approximately of 90 days only.
Okay. So at the moment, we have sort of slightly lower than the last quarter that we saw.
Yeah. And
yeah, 2-3-5 days. If you see the number, sir, actually what happens, you see the closing balance of receivables with the sales figure. But if you see on a quarter-to-quarter basis, it will be coming to 90 days or below 90 days only. Because if you see the last quarter sales and if you see the dealer's figure, so it is almost lesser than that amount.
Right. Understood. And also, sir, wanted to understand because, you know, the good thing is you've got quite a solid order book and there will be further wins also. So the way we progress, I think at some point we will need working capital, right? So are we looking to explore raising fresh prep money or this would be mostly debt driven then?
No, right now we're not focusing on that part of it because I think the accruals that we have or the last fundraising that we did, and plus, the way we are trying to improve our numbers, I mean, like in terms of like, you know, reducing the receivable time, you know, I think I would be positioned right now to do what I'm expecting this year. Let's see what's for the next year. And if we have something that builds up on it or something that we come up with or, you know, an ace up a sleeve, a new one, let's see if we need something. But otherwise, I think the internal accruals would be enough.
So this year at least is done maybe and some part of next year also will be managed from internal.
I think so.
Okay. And sir, I'm just currently what is the debt on our balance sheet? I mean broadly there is limited debt but just for the sake of it numbers.
So as far as dates are concerned sir, we have only debt of around 15 crores as on date on our books. Rest... it's been in form of non-fund facilities like bank guarantees and letter of credit.
Right. So that's within this 15 crores includes long-term and short-term, both?
Yeah, both.
Right. So that's well capitalized. Okay. Understood. I'll come back.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask questions, you may please press star and one. Our next question comes from the line of Ashwath Rajan from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations. My question was specifically on our margins. We saw some decline on it. I just wanted to understand the forward trajectory. What do we see in the coming quarters? And you could also elaborate for the entire year.
I mean, as you comparison to what? I mean, the quarter one of 25 to quarter one of 26, or you're talking about the closing of 26 or 25?
It's both. I'm going through your presentation for quarter one. So if you could just give me on the quarterly basis, next few quarters, do we see the margins remaining at similar levels, or how do we see the trajectory going forward?
Ashwath ji, as I told, I was just telling Mr. Chadha also, see, what happens is that the first two quarters, normally, it is a lot of supply that happens. And then the third and the fourth quarter normally get into the full-fledged execution part of it, or the execution billing starts from that. So what happens is that when the execution happens, that is when the major margin gets released. Because on the supply portion, normally the margins are lesser as compared to the execution part. And as you know that, the orders are also split into two parts. Supply and erection are two different orders. So that is where, you will see that the overall part of the overall EBITDA at the end of the year will be better than the last year. As you've seen in the last year also, we've improved. So this year also we expect it to improve. And what we are aiming at is that, to achieve something that we really are looking forward to, I mean, maybe a 7 to 8 or plus 8 plus PAT, and maybe a 14% of EBITDA. That's what we're looking at.
Right, sir. And do we have a blended execution timeline for our entire order book right now?
Yeah, so we have our PMRs, we have our DPRs, and we have, the targets that have been given. I mean, they all link to a lot of incentive and stuff like that to the core teams also. So it all works out in a fashion where it is a completely planned, like, what is going to be supplied in the month of March, how what is supplied in the month of April, and how that is going to be turned around by the month of, maybe June, July, and what we are planning for this quarter, what will be executed in the next quarter, and how we are going to achieve the figure which we are looking at. I mean, the growth that we've seen last year and what we are aiming at for next 3 years. That's what the roadmap that we made for ourselves. So definitely, I mean, everything, and there is every day there is a daily monitoring that happens. There's evening and morning and evening there is a monitoring of what is right now executed. I mean, let's say that in the morning we decided that we're going to execute 10 kilometers. So by the evening, has it been 10? It has been 9. So there is a 1 kilometer lapse that has happened. How are we going to cover it up the next day? So, and then overall in a week, has there been any lapse, or have we achieved what we have planned, or we've done more? So because the execution timelines have to be very stringent, because without that, we'll not be able to achieve those numbers. Because, just by supplying and not completing, I mean, it's going to lead, any kind of thing, because these are all time-bound projects. I mean, the timelines are like anything between 24 months to 12 months. Like, let's say for the example, we're looking at Udaipur Airport. So Udaipur Airport happens like, the target is to be finishing it by the March 2026, because they need to start operational activities by somewhere in the end of September 26. The inauguration is already planned and things are already there. So these are all time-bound projects. So, we also plan accordingly, and we have our systems in order.
Okay, thank you, sir. I'll get back to you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Paras Chedda from Purple One Vertex Ventures LLP. Please go ahead.
In general, what would be our medium-term goal? I mean, the way this entire power sector is poised and the way our company is poised, tentatively, what kind of targets do you look at in terms of revenue goals for the medium term, let's say 3 to 5 years?
So, practically, I'm looking at bare minimum growth of 50% year on year. I mean, for next 3 years, The next 3 years, we've already targeted that. And once we complete this FY26, then we make a new roadmap for ourselves for the next 3 years. So as on date, we planned up to 27, where we are looking at a 50% growth year on year. Minimum, that's bare minimum.
Right. Right, understood. And sir, at some point, you know, when Twitten comes in, so what kind of revenue can Twitten contribute here? I mean, let's say 2-3 years down the line, in general, the potential on Twitten for that acquisition.
So I think I think if whatever we planning goes all well and with the products that are lined up, we would be looking on at least Twitten to also grow by the same speed as what Power is doing right now. So the numbers, I would not be able to deluge right now. But yes, we are looking at the same potential growth what we are looking at for Power.
Understood. I just missed, but what would be the last year turnover for Twitten?
Last year turnover for Twitten is of 34 crore rupees.
34. And what kind of EBITDA margins they have done?
Sir, EBITDA margin figures yet to be finalized, but it would be approximately of in between 7-8%.
Okay. And is there a scope for improvement here?
Sir. We are continuously in process to improve the same. So
we'll be seeing very good numbers. I mean, post the tie-up with the Siemens and Rittal Germany, we have to have very good figures coming out. Absolutely.
Okay, understood. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to join the question queue. We have our next question from the line of Ankit Mota, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. Talking about Twitten particularly, because you are planning to scale up here, what is the human resource hiring plan also? Because, you know, this would be a kind of marketing business wherein you have to establish distribution also. So would like to know, as the company grows 40-50%, even more than that, how do you really look at human resource scaling up team, etc.? And also, we would like to know as to how really do you see this RDSS scheme opportunity coming up? Because you spoke about airports and other electrification projects. But when it comes to state government projects also, are you looking at more traction in tenders and ordering coming from them?
So I will start with your first question. As you asked me regarding Twitten, what I would like to, put across is that, as I said that, you know, Twitten was on self-manufacturing, I mean, under their own brand. But now that we have tied up with Siemens, we have tied up with, as I told you, with Rittal, we've ourselves seen a lot of, I mean, the change in the entire scenario, I mean, of the number of inquiries that we are receiving and the way, because Siemens itself acts as a marketing arm for us, you know, so that anyway. Point number two, we have, in last 6 months, we have had our own HR department and full-fledged for the HR and admin, and we have a retired commander from the Naval Forces who's taking care of the administration and the HR right now in all, and plus he has a team of 3 people below him. So we are in the process of hiring. In fact, in last 4 months or 3 months, we have actually added about 12 professionals to the system in terms of Twitten and Power together, and continuous recruitment is going on, because as rightly you pointed out, that when you look at this kind of a growth, the most important part becomes the manpower. So to tackle that, we've already taken the right steps, and we are putting in systems, and we've already updated our softwares. We have our HR softwares in order, and we are very well planning. And as I told you, as far as the marketing is concerned, we are taking our senior people on the marketing side also. And plus, as I told you, the beauty of it is that once we've tied up with Siemens, Siemens' office is all across the country, and that acts as an additional arm to us. I mean, but then the new product that we're launching and the future products that we're adding, I mean, we will be needing our own marketing team definitely. So we're expanding the marketing team, and I think you'll see somebody very senior join very soon, maybe in a month or two. I mean, the discussions are on. We've finalized a couple of people. So we're just keeping it fingers crossed. And okay, coming back to the thing about the PSM expansion, and in terms of RDSS or in terms of the state schemes, see, RDSS right now, the first phase is getting over, which was the reduction of the losses. Now the second phase that is going to come in is the modernization, where you will be seeing all the cities. I mean, there whatever overhead lines are tier two cities apart from Bombay or maybe Calcutta or the tier one cities. The rest of the cities, like you'll see Udaipur, you'll see Bhopal, you will see Baroda. Wherever the overhead lines are there, they're all going to be converted into underground to again reduce the losses. So this is the scheme called the modernization. And then again, the power revamping, which is coming up under the IPDS, which is, the increasing number of distribution substations, because we've increased the generation, but then for the distribution, we still require a lot of substations to come up. Like, for example, Ajmer itself is looking at floating tenders for about close to 1,200 substations in next 4 or 5 years, because that's the kind of generation that's going to happen in Rajasthan. So to facilitate that, you need the distribution network. So definitely, so this modernization is coming, IPDS is again coming. So all these things, we are definitely very closely placed. And as I told today in the earlier thing, that we did not wait for our completion certificates to come in. We've already done a couple of tie-ups in the last few months, wherein, any size of 300, 350 crore or 400 crore project comes in, we'll be able to bid and, we can take it up on the back-to-back basis. So we've already planned our journey, and we're already planning as to how to build it up so that, whatever aims we have or whatever targets we're looking at can be achieved as fast as possible.
So, sir, recently you won the 70 crore order, which came up earlier this month.
Right.
So are you saying that now our qualification is as large, saying that, we can now bid the very high value orders also?
So we've bidded already for 163 crores, single work.
On our own. It move up to like 200, 300, 400 crores?
Very easily.
So do we have the resources and the capability, meaning to bid, or we would need some partners for such large orders?
So it depends on both the things. It would depend upon the sector that you're aiming at. It would also depend upon the kind of job. Like, let's say if it's a traction substation, for example, for the railways. So probably I will be needing somebody, because 25K DC job is a very peculiar and very this thing. But in that case, if it is a modernization job, let's say if it's an underground cabling or somebody, I probably would not need anybody. So it would just, why I said is that we've already tied hands with a couple of people, is because we are keeping our, things very ready, that in case if something comes, the opportunity, we should not be in the loss of opportunity. But otherwise, if you talk about RDSS, underground cabling, or the overhead cabling, or the loss reduction or anything, I think we are capable enough to, bid 200, 250 crores, and if we require some kind of a financial JV, that's very easily available. It would not be technical requirement, but maybe on the financial requirement.
Right. Sir, what I could make of this P10 electricals also is that you said that acquisition will be closed very shortly. But
right.
I would like to know as to what exactly products are you developing, what stage are the certifications in, because, when you talk about bus bars, they are used in very high-rise buildings. We also have your products which are certified by Siemens, which are used in data centers. So you think this year onwards, you could also start supplies to data centers, very high-rise buildings, because real estate is also moving higher. So if you could talk about the products and the portfolio that P10 has currently, and what kind of new things can we probably can see here.
Yeah. So I would say that P10 was making low voltage panels basically for a certain segment, which we would specify to be, in the partially type tested. So there are two kinds of panels, which are partially type tested and totally type tested. Now the totally type tested assemblies are normally manufactured or tested by the manufacturers of the switchgears, like, Larsen & Toubro or Siemens or ABB or Schneider. So this year what we did is that, we were inclined to, move the business up. So what we did is that we tied up with Siemens. We took a license from them for manufacturing, as well as we tied up with Rittal Germany, again, for manufacturing of the type-tested panels. The peculiarity of both is different. The applications are different. So we needed both the licenses in order. So we got both the licenses done. Coming back to what we are developing in-house, we are developing the low-voltage compact busway system, which is definitely for the data centers, which is there for the airports, which is there for the high-rise building. Now, as we all know that with the advent of the high-rise, that is, I mean, like, you know, earlier it used to be Bombay, which used to have high-rise, or maybe Gurgaon, which used to have high-rise. But now, if you look at even tier-2 cities, I mean, like Ahmedabad, like, you know, you go to Jaipur, you go to all these places, you would see that everybody started building 30 floors, 40 floors. So the Central Electric Authority has themselves come out with a mandate which says that any building which is more than 10 stories high, it is mandatory that they cannot use cables. They have to go for the bus duct for the distribution so that it doesn't become hazardous and, I mean, the fire hazard is taken care of. So this product basically, as I said, like, you know, see, the easier way would be to, you know, you find somebody's design, you take it over. But we put in a lot of sweat and money into this, and we've been doing the R&D for last about 3 years. The product was already developed about 1.5-2 years back, which was installed in one of the data centers of Vodafone. It has been running very successfully past 2 years. But then we had to make certain changes in the design. Not due to the aspect of the design fault or something, but just to make it more cost competitive, because at the end of the day, any of the segment that you cater to, the cost definitely matters. So we have already completed that entire thing, and we are probably in a mood, I mean, like in a set mood to start the final testing in one of the government authorized labs by maybe September. And this year we will definitely, being the 50th year, we also want to launch something that will be of remembrance. And particularly if I'm talking about Bazda, so I have been personally associated with this product the last almost like from the time it was launched in India for different applications. So I'm very well versed with the system, and I am almost in touch with all the distributors, or almost all the people who are working in this segment. So what I look forward to is only completion of my testing, and then, I mean, the launch, and then probably, you know, we can take it forward.
So do you think Peten can scale up from 35 crores turnover, as CFO is mentioning, to maybe 100 crores in the next 1.5-2 years?
Very easily. Very, very easily. Very, very easily.
And sir, you said probably you will be working 2 times the order book. It is already 2 times, you know, your revenues. Year end, do you see with the traction that you are looking at right now, probably we can have 700 crores worth of order book?
I said minimum 2 times. I did not say that I stop at 2 times. I said what I envisage is to minimum 2 times, and let's see how it takes it. See, again, because see, what is to be very carefully thought about is that there have been a lot of failures and debacles, you know, because the order booking has to be in conscious effort to the execution part. Simply by taking the order, sitting over the order is not going to help. I mean, neither the country, neither the company. So what I look forward is that, you know, the moment we increase our execution capabilities, which, as I told you, we've already done it. I mean, in fact, I mean, first thing we did in last year was that, you know, we had our own HR, because we were dependent on the HR agency outside, and we were not able to track the right talent. So we thought that the best thing to do would be have in the complete, setup in-house, which we already did last year. And, like, you know, we doing a good amount of recruitment in last quarter, and we look forward to doing it, and take up more professionals, you know, from this field, you know. And then, like, you know, once that execution capability comes in, I mean, definitely it's not stopping at 50% or 100% growth. It'll definitely be as big as you can be. And then the ample opportunities are available. It's just about you need to just, you know, select it and, you know, move forward in the right direction.
Thank you, sir, and all the best for the coming quarter.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mota. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one if you wish to ask questions. Our next question comes from the line of Paras Chedda from Purple One Vertex Ventures LLP. Please go ahead.
Yes. Sir, what is your current team size at PIGL and Peten?
So PIGL and Peten put together would be around close to 100-110.
Okay, both put together. And sir, I just forgot this 60% stake you bought Peten is for 100 share, is it?
For?
The acquisition price you paid Peten,
yeah,
for the 60% stake is for how much?
I think it is
Rohit, so the underlying value, yeah, underlying valuation to be derived, and the same will be derived at the time of acquisition. However,
right.
Preliminary, we have some valuation reports. So, in case if you need those reports, we will share it to you. But
no, we don't need. But just as a broader sense, you know, what level are we buying at?
The broader sense, right now it is difficult to comment. But yeah, we will be going with the two or three valuation, whichever lower valuation will be there, we will opt for the same.
But what can be the range like?
Like it will be in between, like going by valuation, what we think is in between 20 to 30 crore rupees.
That is for the company valuation itself. And then our valuation, whatever, based on that 60% for that.
Yeah, based on that 45%, 15% already we have, additional 45% we will acquire.
Acha, okay. So the company valuation could be between 20 to 30 full company valuation and 45% whatever we'll pay for that. And this will be mostly paid out cash to them.
Yes, that will be paid out as a cash.
Understood. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we have no further questions at this time. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
I sincerely thank all of you for joining in for this call, and I'm open to any kind of replies or queries that you people may have or something that must be left out. I mean, I'm extremely thankful to Arihant Capital for arranging for this call. And I think in case if anybody wants to get in touch with me, I mean, you can just call up Arihant and they can arrange for a call. I mean, and any kind of further questions or discussions or anything that is required on whatever basis, I mean, we're open to that. So I would thank all of you, and I would thank all the best wishes that you people have given me. And I'm looking forward to, you know, closing the next quarter and the year as committed as we have discussed. So thank you all, and Om Namah Shivaya.
Thank you. On behalf of Arihant Capital Markets Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.